Good morning. This is one of those Sundays where we just have some really cool things going on, looking forward to the children ringing the bells and with the choir back in the loft. And we found out that some of our speakers are not working, and so we've been trying to get that, and they don't. And so we're kind of working around it. We think we found some ways to make it all work this morning, and so I appreciate the extra couple of minutes this morning. As far as announcements go, remember our offering baskets, our offering boxes are out in the lobby. Please put your tithes, your offerings in there, as we will not be passing the plate here on Sunday morning. Then remember a couple of things. Christmas Eve will be on Christmas Eve, yeah, I know. At 6:30, we're having a service. The kids are going to be an integral part of that and putting that together. There'll be some singing. There'll be kind of acting out of the nativity, and we're really looking forward to that. The kids are practicing each Sunday morning at 9:45, and then their final practice will be on Wednesday, the 22nd. We're going to practice at 5. And then we're going to have a little movie and some snacks afterwards. So it'll go from 5 to 8. Now, parents, we're going to have your kids from 5 till 8. You don't need to be here. Okay, enjoy your evening out. Guys, do something. Plan. It would be awesome. Okay, then on December 26th, the Sunday after Christmas, we're going to have a celebration service. And our celebration service is filled with singing and people having an opportunity to sing a special music or to play an instrument or the piano, or maybe there is a reading or a poem that you would like to share as part of that. We're pretty open. John Nixon is kind of coordinating that service, and I'm told there's a slot or two left. So if you would like to be part of that service, please get in touch with John, give him a call, or catch him here at church, and you can become part of that service. This weekend, there's a mission trip to Valley Head. Valley Head is Valley Head, West Virginia. The Christmas presents that you see up in the front this morning are the Christmas presents that were under the Mountain Vision tree. We brought them into the sanctuary this Sunday. And those are the presents that are going to go down to the kids at Valley Head. They're going down on Friday. The celebration and the giving of the presents will be on Saturday, and then coming back home, and then you get to come on Sunday morning and share all the wonderful things that happened on that trip. And so looking forward to that. That's Friday and Saturday this week. If you're interested in going, there's still some slots available. See John Wood. Yay. He can coordinate that. Also, we just want to have a prayer for these Christmas gifts. We want to pray over them and for the kids and families that they represent. So let's go ahead and do that right now. You know, God, there are, in some ways, we are so richly blessed. And we look forward to Christmas time and the sharing of gifts, because it comes from love. And we want to share with our family and our friends this love that we have in our hearts, this love that comes from you. And Lord, we want to do that. And Lord, we think of these families that are struggling, and Lord, some of it may be of their own making, some of it may be from the environment in which they live. It really doesn't matter to us. All we know, Lord, is there are kids and families that are struggling, and we want to bring them a little bit of joy. And so, Lord, we just ask that your blessing would be upon each one of these gifts. And, Lord, that your Spirit would touch each and every one of these families to bring them some joy of Christmas. That in the opening of a physical gift, that they might also receive that spiritual gift of acknowledging and knowing you as Savior. And, Lord, that you would shine your light in their hearts and draw close to them. Let them have joy this Christmas season. Be with each family. Be with each child. be with those that are taking the trip and going down to share this tremendous gift with them, and watch over them, keep them safe, and bring them back. Lord, touch their hearts and draw them closer to you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, continue to remember several folks that are having some difficulties. Remember Bob Donaldson. Bob's a great guy, and he's having some trouble with his heart and I don't know, it's electrical system in his body, so that tells me it's nerves and that kind of stuff. He's just having some trouble with his legs and some different things. So he's having some more tests on Friday, so please keep Bob in your prayers. Continue to remember the families that have lost loved ones. This past week, Steve Culbertson, our sound guy, his mom went on to be with the Lord. And so continue to remember their family in your prayers. And then this afternoon, Dana Brooks, his service will be at Robert's Funeral Home at 2 o'clock as this family says goodbye to Dana as well. So keep them in your prayers. Remember also Virginia. Dana's wife fell and did break her hip. It looks as though she's going to be able to be at the service, and so we're very hopeful of that. She's not permitted to put any weight on that leg, and so there's just some details there, but we're very hopeful and would ask you to remember these families in your prayers. There's several more there in your bulletin. Keep them in your prayers, and then just across the board, for our community, for our world, with the things that are going on. Our nativity got upset as a reminder of the tornadoes that went through. Lives were lost, homes were destroyed, businesses, and we want to keep that whole situation in our prayers as well. Any that I may have missed this morning that need to be brought to our attention? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we come before you just acknowledging that you are God and we are not. And Lord, the desires of our hearts, we just ask that you would draw close to us and guide and direct our path. And Lord, we want to do the right things. We want to follow you. We want you to be evident in our lives, that the world would see the difference that you have made, that they might be drawn to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would come and be with us at Christmas, that the world would truly be able to see this. We know they're more open now than at any time. So Lord, just come and draw close to your people and assist us as we share your love with the world. Lord, we think this morning of those individuals that have been affected by these tornadoes. And we just ask that you would comfort the hearts and you would give strength and that you would heal those individuals that are injured. And for those lives that have been lost, we ask your Spirit to comfort the hearts of the survivors. We just ask, God, that you would be there and working. And Lord, we don't always understand. We don't always kind of get the whole picture, but we do know this. There are a lot of people that are in need of your touch, of your care, of those opportunities to see Jesus with skin on as your workers go and help those individuals that are struggling. Lord, just be there and working. We think of those that have lost loved ones in our midst, and the Culbertson family and the Brooks family. Minister to their hearts. Give them your strength and your love. And Lord, walk with us as we walk with you. And Lord, just assist us. There's struggles in our lives, a time when families get together, and it's great to get together as families, but sometimes when we do, the sparks fly. And help us to be the kind of people that can kind of push back a little bit and keep the sparks from flying. And Lord, just to choose our words wisely, that it would reflect your love. Help us to be part of that difference-making within our respective families. And Lord, hear our hearts. Assist us that, Lord, we desire to have more of you in our lives. And Lord, just meet us and encourage us and move us closer and closer to you, Lord. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Today I'm going to be reading John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all the things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. This morning we light the third candle, the candle of the strength of Jesus. In the beginning, the Word spoke and creation came into being. Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God, and in fact, the Word is God. Jesus, the third person of the Trinity, is our strength as Christians. Nothing, absolutely nothing, came into being without Jesus. Therefore, nothing is stronger than Jesus. Whatever your burden is this morning, whatever it is that is holding you down, Jesus is stronger. Jesus is stronger than any event, any situation, any spirit that may come against us. We will prevail not on our own strength, but with the strength of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our strength. Through you, all things were made. There has been nothing made without you. We call on our holy name to abide with us, to protect us, to guide us and give us the strength we need to overcome. We ask this in the name of Jesus and know it will be done. Amen.
Please stand and join us this morning. Worthy, you are worthy, followed by Away in a Manger. Worthy.
King of peace. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. These are Jesus' words. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And again, that was from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18.
Thank you.
If there's any more that want to come down for the children's sermon, we'll go ahead and... Okay. You want to sit down? We'll have a minute or two together. Now, at the end of the service, adults, please do not come down and play with the bells. Okay, we're going to have the children's sermon. Do you want to sit here? Okay, now, I know that Christmas is coming, and I'm really looking forward to all the goodies, the baking of the cookies and the Christmas dinner and turkey and all the dressings and the potatoes. Oh, I just can't wait. You know, visiting with family and friends and all of that. I can't wait. Opening the gifts because I know my family loves me and they're going to get me really cool stuff. You hear that? And I just can't wait for Christmas. But I get this feeling, even though I've named all the things that are important to me for Christmas, I feel like I've forgotten something. Can you think of something that I might have forgotten? Jesus. Yeah, it's his birthday. Yeah. That's kind of a big deal, isn't it? I mean, parties are fun. Getting dressed up is great. Having all of these special things are just really cool. Christmas gifts are awesome. But if we forget about Jesus, Jesus is the main part. And so we need to make sure that we remember that this is all about Christ. The giving and the receiving of gifts is because God gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. And we give those that we love gifts so that they can open on Christmas. All the celebrations and all of that, we need to remember that Jesus is an important part of all of those times together. So let's bow our heads and pray and just talk to Jesus for a minute. Heavenly Father, help us to remember it's your birthday. And that really all of the celebration and all the fun stuff is just because of you. And we want to celebrate. And we really want to make sure that that's important. We want to celebrate your day. But Lord, help us to remember that it's you. That you came that we might be able to be forgiven. That we might be able to spend eternity with you. Help us to remember that real reason for the season. Help us to remember to tell you happy birthday on your day. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, here you go.
Kiss. My coat of many colors, that my mama made for me. Made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors, I hurried off to school just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. And my coat of many colors my mama made for me. I couldn't understand it, for I thought I was rich. And I told him of the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told him all the story mama told me while she sewed, and why my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. They didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see. One is only poor, only if they choose to be. It's true we had no money, but as rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. Made just for me.
You know, we've been talking about, well, ugly Christmas sweaters. And each week we've been talking about a different part or a different thing that we want to make sure that, well, ugly Christmas sweaters are ugly on the outside, but we want to make sure that we're in good shape on the inside. And we've talked about ugly words and ugly thoughts the last couple of weeks as we're kind of preparing to have Christmas. And Christmas is that family gathering, that good time of coming together where we can truly enjoy the presence of one another. And Christmas is sometimes a little stressful. And does your family have, you know, like a weird Uncle Al or something like that? You know, the one that's a little different from most, the one that's a little hard to get along with, that's a little bit difficult maybe in the gathering, and everybody's a little nervous because you don't know what's going to happen, what they may or may not say, and all of this. We come together, and you know, in my family, one of the things that we do is we have kind of a gift for all, and we all buy each other a little something, you know, and it's fun, and you try and buy something that's thoughtful, that they're going to use. I'm not going to say any gifts that I've received from the past, because if so, my sister will be watching online today, and it would just be terrible. But it's one of those things, and we want to have the right motivation. You know, we talked with the kids about Christmas, and it's Jesus' birthday, and God gave Jesus to us, and we celebrate that, the greatest gift of all. And we want to be able to give a gift to those that we love, and really show them that we love. And then there's weird Uncle Al, you know, and we got to get him something, you know, and our motivation kind of comes into it, and sometimes we're just trying to get something to get by. Do you ever do that? Sometimes that motivation just isn't quite. I read of a pastor, not me, of course. This had to be some other pastor. And they were trying to decide what to get their wife for Christmas, and they thought, you know what? I know just the thing. My wife loves to cook, and she's good at it. So got her one of those deep fryers, all fried chicken, you know, and all that stuff. It was all automatic, just push the buttons. It would be wonderful. Man, got that, wrapped it up, put it under the tree 2 weeks early. I wanted effect. I mean, this pastor. And he put it under there. And the time came on Christmas, and he gets the package, and he gives it to his wife that she might be able to open it. She's going to love this deep fryer. Man, she gets that paper. Man, she just tears it off. It looks like a two-year-old in heaven. I mean, it was just wonderful. Ripped it all open, and she saw the box, and she rips open the box because she does not think that I would be, I mean, that pastor would be so stupid as to think that a deep fryer for Christmas would be what actually purchased her. When she opened that up and saw it was a deep fryer, she looked at her husband and went, and the desperate husband, you know, at those moments, your mind doesn't have a chance to engage, and you say things like, well, honey, you love to cook, and you make the best fried chicken, so I got your deep fryer, so it'd be easier, helpful. I like fried chicken. At that moment, the realization hit the pastor that he got his wife a gift so that he could reap the benefits. We need to make sure that our motivation, not only for Christmas presents, but across the board, is really where it needs to be. And this morning, I have a couple of things that I want to talk, I want to share. I want to kind of hopefully communicate a little bit in looking at our motives as to why we do some of the things that we do. So the first thing in getting rid of ugly motives, we need to be careful that we do not do the right thing for the wrong reason. I did the right thing. I mean, that pastor got his wife the deep fryer. I mean, it was a good thing. It just, yeah, should have, maybe Mother's Day would have been better. I don't know. But it's not that it was a wrong thing. It just wasn't the right motive. It was self-serving in that situation. Ugly motives can nullify our witness in the world. Christmas season's full of opportunities to serve others and to meet their needs, and those things are important, but when we do them that we might get the recognition, it becomes self-serving. And in the scripture that Tammy read for us this morning, it kind of says, look, if you do things from that motivation, you're already getting everything you're going to get. So you may get a smile, you may get a thank you, but guess what? That's it. You might get the admiration of men, but God looks down and just shakes his head. We need to make sure that our motivation is right. And I've heard different individuals say, well, yeah, the motivation is right, and if it's not, we'll keep doing it till it gets there. Well, there's some concept to that, but the reality is there's a lot we do in our world, and you know, it's not that it's bad for us to be doing those things. It's just our motivation is we're trying to build ourselves up. Oh, pastors do this all the time. It is a fight as a pastor, because we get to stand up front every single week. And you know, and if we're really good, then the pews are filled. And if we're not so good, then the pews aren't filled. And our whole world begins to revolve around how many people are in the pews rather than doing what God is asking us to do. And it becomes a war within our hearts. And sometimes our wheels fall off. And we need to make sure that we're doing what God wants us to do because God wants us to do it. And it's not about, oh, that was a phenomenal sermon, Pastor. You're so gifted. Those are wonderful. It's good to get that feedback. But let me tell you a secret. I'm really not that good at writing speeches. The truth of the matter is God changed everything when he called me into ministry. And anything you see up here that's good is God's fault. If it's not good, that's probably where Pastor Arnie got involved. And so help us to keep that motivation in the right spot. Now, I'm not saying go beat up your pastor. That's please don't. But it's making sure we have the right motivation for doing the things that we do. Because there's a lot of good things, but our motives just aren't right. Weird Uncle Al. Yes, it's Al Yankovic. It's from a CD for those of you who are old enough to know. But that's where the word, but Weird Uncle Al. I don't have an Uncle Al. But it's just one of those things. But we need to make sure that our motivation is right. Are we willing to take the extra, not just get him something so it looks good to the rest of the family that he got to open a deep fryer or whatever it happened to be, you know, re-gifting that gift you got last year that you didn't like? Oh, give it to Al. It will look good, man. That was expensive. You know, what's our motivation? What are we really trying to do? There was too many times where our hearts just aren't in the right place. We need to make sure that there are. God gave us Jesus as a free gift, the greatest gift of love that God could give. He gave of himself that we might be connected to him. And he says, go and do likewise. Go and give of yourself that others would see him. Make sure our motivation is in the right place. Secondly, this morning, in getting rid of ugly motives, Jesus needs to be our motivation. You know, an ugly sweater at a party, especially one this cool, serves its own purpose, and I wear it proudly, you know, but the truth of the matter is, it's just Santa Claus and a safety vest, so he doesn't get shot. I mean, whatever it happens to be. I mean, but so often we wear things to draw attention to ourselves. Now, it's not an excuse to not take care of ourselves. Have you ever sit beside somebody who doesn't smell so good? I mean, you know, this, it's not what I'm saying, but what I am saying is sometimes we wear something on the outside because we want everybody to see. And I look at our culture, and I look through Facebook, and I look through advertisements, and I see them on TV, and it just seems like that the less clothes you wear, the cooler you are. And I don't mean that as far as temperature is concerned. We get so concerned with what's on the outside that we miss the truth on the inside. And we need to be willing to be able to say in any situation that we find ourselves in, is Jesus our motivation? Am I reflecting the God that loves me? Now you can do that. It's not that you're not in the right place, but are you willing to stop for that moment and say, okay, is this reflecting God's love? I know sometimes it's hard, and we're forced into certain situations, or at least we think we're forced into certain situations, and it's hard. How can I give God glory when I'm skipping Sunday morning service? Well, there are ways to do that. You need to talk to Jesus about it. And there are ways that God can use us wherever we find ourselves, even when Weird Uncle Al is in the room. There's ways. In my family, we're like a normal family. I mean, there's ups and downs. There's people you get along with great. There's the outliers, you know, and you've got all of that. We get together, and it's just a blast. But one of the things I always try and remember is even those individuals that, from my point of view, are a little outside the norm, it's like I purposely make sure I spend time with them because they're family anyway. I purposely... And I want to know, even though we may not see eye to eye, I still need to see. I still need to care and to love them in their situation regardless. And so I make sure that I'm interacting on a basis we don't get to see each other all the time. Yeah, I'm a little bit of the black sheep. I'm the one that moved away from home. And so they probably talk about me. But the reality is what's our motivation? Is Jesus behind the things that we say and that we do? The third thing I want to talk about this morning in getting rid of ugly motives is to remember that it's not a competition. Sometimes we find ourselves trying to get the limelight. We find ourselves trying to kind of be the one that always cracks the funny joke, that has the one-liner that lives on from year to year. We have a tendency to kind of almost get into rivalries with our siblings. And some of that is healthy and it's fun. It's not that is a problem. But when all we're left with is a competition, we lose the meaning and the reason of why we're getting together. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." Paul knew that it was very easy to start this one-upmanship. And in our families, I mean, it's not that we have to be boring. I mean, it's not that we can't have fun. It's not that we can't have a little friendly rivalry. But at the same time, we need to understand that in that friendly rivalry, it really doesn't matter who wins. And as long as it doesn't matter who wins, then you can have fun doing it. A few years ago, my sister and I, we started getting each other prank gifts, I guess you'd call them. She got me my first cordless telephone. Yeah, she took a telephone and cut the cord off of it, you know. I mean, and that set the tone, and for several years, it was always opening something along those lines. Who could get the silliest thing for the other? We had a lot of fun doing it. And it went back and forth. And yes, it was a competition, but it really wasn't about who won. It was just having fun. It was kind of being creative and then laughing at ourselves, you know. I got her a chainsaw, you know. It was a log chain with a stick. I mean, but these things, and it's this back and forth. This it was fun. That's not what I'm talking about. The competition that I'm talking about is when it takes it to the next level, and we start putting things or relationships a little bit aside in order to win the competition. In college, we played intramural football. And, you know, it was flag football. And you had a little flag down each side, and that's how you tackle people. It was pretty simple. Concept, pretty straightforward. We had two floors of guys, and they would play each other. And this was competition. There wasn't even a trophy involved. And quickly, the game went from pulling a flag to they would just tackle and then pull the flag off because it was easier. Well, pretty soon things got heated and it started getting out of control. And we had to not only stop the football game, we had to stop playing intramural football for the rest of the year because it was getting out of hand. Competition wasn't the problem. It was taking things too far. And so many times in the world in which we live, we take things too far. We forget that this is supposed to be fun. We forget these competitions are just for enjoyment. And we begin to take things too far. You know, that's why we quote-unquote say we don't necessarily like Weird Uncle Al, because he doesn't know when to, you know, put his lips together and close that white cage on his tongue. And he says things that he shouldn't say, and he does things that he probably shouldn't do. And we all look down our nose at him a little bit because, well, he's weird Uncle Al. But the reality is we all fight a little bit against that. And we need to make sure that we don't turn into weird Uncle Al. We need to make sure that it's not a competition. We're just here. And we want to be together, and we want to love one another, and we want that to come shining through. We want to be beautiful on the inside, so we don't have to worry about all of that paraphernalia coming to the surface, because it's just not in our hearts. Because truly, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If our heart is pure, we don't have to guard what we say. Let's have pure hearts. Let's be pure on the inside, and this tremendous gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ might change who we are on the inside so that we're pure and reflective of God's love regardless of the ugly Christmas sweater we might wear. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you're doing, and we're really looking forward to Christmas. And Lord, we love all the celebrations. We love the fact that the kids were here ringing bells. It was just awesome. And we just thank you for the things that you're doing. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to work with us, that our motivation, our basic elements would be reflective of your love being poured in our hearts. And Lord, that would fill us up from the inside and come out. It's not about how we dress up the outside. It's about the purity and the love that's within our hearts. So come and draw close to us as we prepare for Christmas. And Lord, the celebrations that we're involved with, may we reflect that love that you have placed in us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand and join me in our closing song this morning, The First Noel. First Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east, to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. This star drew nigh to the northwest, for Bethlehem it took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay. Jesus lay. Noel, 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 Noel. is to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought.
As we go from this place, may God's hand continue to be upon us, to build us up, to give us strength that we might share his love with the world. It's not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside that counts. Amen.